Yesterday I saw on the Cornell hockey Twitter account a photo of the team gathering at center ice, and the caption read essentially, "One last skate. We're so proud of our players. We're so proud of our seniors." And joining us here on the ESPN Ithaca studios is the head coach of the Big Red, Mike Schaefer, who, of course, you've seen your season come to an end. Such an abrupt end. And I guess, first and foremost, how are you doing with all of this stuff?
Yeah, it's obviously uncharted territory for everybody. You're used to your season being ended, but it's always a sad time, but not this way. And it's tough. I mean, you spend your career, and everybody just looks at this year. But to get this kind of team, really, it's a 3-4-5 year process of recruiting all the different types of players, training them, those guys developing. So it stings an awful lot, and not just for us, but also our women's hockey team, to be in such a great position, because it only happens. Been coaching 34 years, it only happens where you get a gut feeling that that the team's destined. But as a coach, and I've said this before, is that that they're destined to have great things, and you wonder in the back of your mind if it's going to be your year, if it's going to all the things are going to fall into place. And we still have, as a head coach, you still have those questions even now, even though we're number one ranked, we're healthy, we're you go into it, you still know you still got a lot of obstacles to be a national champion. But you definitely, it's a gut punch, because that there are all the factors that can typically be in your way, they were out of the way, and we were ready to roll. But so yeah, it's definitely devastating to the players and everybody involved.
I want to go through a timeline of how things kind of shook out a couple of days ago. So it was around 9 p.m. Wednesday night. The ECAC announced changes to the tournament quarterfinals, because earlier in the day we found out Harvard and Yale were both going to withdraw. And because of that, six teams would be competing. You and Clarkson were going to get the top, were you going to get the byes to championship weekend. And then right around, I think it was 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, we find out from media reports that RPI is going to withdraw and that the tournament's in jeopardy. So when did you find out? What was the timeline for you with all of this?
Yeah, it was evolving right when you were on calls I'm on the NCAA committee. And so, I think that when we heard that our fans weren't going to be allowed in, then we heard that Harvard was withdrawing. Right away, you knew that everything was in trouble. I mean, I think that everybody always has that in their back of their mind. Okay, well, it's just an issue down by Boston. But once those cards started to fall, I was on the NCAA committee, and they're talking about, we're just going to, proper hygiene. That was Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. And that went from proper hygiene to no fans to canceling the tournament within, 48 hours. So, we knew it was in trouble. I think a lot of people were optimistic. They wanted to see things happen, but and then you knew definitely things were gone when the NCAA announced that the Big Ten basketball team pulled out, because we just felt like, if basketball was going to run their championship with no fans, we kind of felt we had hope that you knew the financial hit they were going to take with the basketball folding, and we felt like that would be the one saving grace. If they were going to do that, that we would be able to play our championship. But as soon as they announced that the Big Ten basketball pulled out and they were going to cancel their tournament, we knew where all sports were done. And that in my mind, that's why I knew.
Let's go back to yesterday a little bit. Mike, tell me about the emotions. What was the mood on the ice in the room when the guys were able to get together for the last time?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough even to talk about it. It's really tough.
All right.
I know it's obviously emotional for you, Mike. Mike Schaefer, by the way, our guest here of the Cornell men's hockey team, number one of the country. Was yesterday's meeting one final goodbye? Because I guess, do you get a chance to see these guys again? I feel like there's so much uncertainty based on what schools are doing to protect the students and the faculty and everybody, and I understand that. But do you know, are you going to be able to see these guys again once things maybe get back on track?
Yeah, again, that's evolving. That's evolved from yesterday's meeting with the guys. I mean, it was tough because, you see these guys, how much work they put in. Like Jeff Malott, who had he had tore his ACL in a championship game last year and got himself healthy and had the best year of his college career this year. And so you guys like Yanni called us, and Noah Bald, who had got hurt night before senior night and couldn't play in a senior night, and just to see the empty feeling and the camaraderie there on the locker room and on the ice yesterday was tough. But I think even tougher it's the closure and the unknown and the uncertainty with our players right now, that the things you don't think of as a fan or a sportscaster or anybody, like our guys, we got guys that need surgery, and they need season ending, if they're waiting for the end of the year. And so what's going to be up with them? And as of this morning, a lot of guys were going to stick around a little bit, but the university changed and they closed down all classes until April is when they're going to start the virtual classroom. And so things have changed right up until before we just came on the air. Guys are calling and saying that they're afraid to go home. And we got kids from Moscow and Beijing that, they can't go home on our team, that they don't have the access to the internet to take classes. So they have to stay. And so kids in Canada and different areas that can't get home because of flights, and they're afraid to go home because of their grandpa or their grandma or their parents. So there's all those unanswered questions that are going on right now, whether they stay and whether they don't, and that's evolving as we speak, and those decisions keep getting changed, and we're at a really unknown spot right now.
Yeah, I mean, the uncertainty of a hockey season and the resolution of what that means for the 30 teams or so that are left is one thing. But then there's, like you mentioned, Mike, the uncertainty that we're all facing societally, yeah. And you think about other people and taking care of, and I think the messaging that is most important, this is a sports talk show, but please, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of your families and those you work with. Ideally, by taking all of these measures now, it makes things better sooner.
And that's the thing with all of this is, I think leading up to it, all of us we heard of it in the news and we kind of just let it go by the wayside a little bit. But then all of a sudden, within the last couple of weeks, everything has just been escalating and we've found out more and more and more. And then all of a sudden, just within the last 72 hours, so much has changed. Mm-hmm. And, we're chatting with Mike Schaefer, head coach of Cornell Men's Hockey, here in studio. But just even hearing about some of those guys who are facing problems going back to their home countries and facing problems with, heck, even to see grandma and grandpa, like, it hits home. And it's just wild to think about.
It is. I mean, I the only thing I could compare to our guys is where they are right now. And they were too young to understand 9/11, and I was in the air on 9/11, and it never really sunk in. You saw the first plane go into the when we pulled off the tarmac in Detroit, and I was in the air, and cell phones were just starting to become mainstream, obviously, but you couldn't get a hold of anybody, couldn't talk to anybody. You really didn't know what was going on, and I told our guys that it's something that they can't understand when you're in the moment, like. At that time, I think, in that day, in that 2 days, it was like, it's okay. Well, it was an accident. The plane just flew into the building. And then it was like, okay, it was a terrorist. We had heard about the terrorism for a little bit, for about a year or 2 years before that. And okay, that's not bad. And they're not going to cancel airlines and they're not going to do this and they're not going to do that. And within 72 hours, things changed and everybody's perspective changed on what was going on. And I told our guys, they're in a moment of history right now that, and they'll have they're so focused on ourselves, which in sports world is where they're focused on the disappointment. They're focused on, things that they try to achieve in their life, but they're not the only people going that, but they'll find out probably in another week or 2 weeks that, it is a moment of history in the sense of how our lives are going to change. They got to keep that in perspective. And as Joe said, that they got to take care of themselves. They got to take care of their families. Everybody in the sports world has to, because in the sports world, we meet reporters, we meet people on the road, we meet other athletes, your other coaches. And our players are already pretty good at taking care of their hygiene because they don't want to get sick during the season. So they're kind of used to it, but this is unprecedented. And they're reacting to it. But I think, as you said, society's reacting to it. And it's one of those moments that, as these guys have never faced, and and hopefully they never do face again, but it's definitely a learning experience.
We'll chat a little bit more about the hockey season with Mike Schaefer, head coach of the Cornell men's hockey team, when we get back. This is BTL. Usual crew on a Friday. Nick Karski, our producer Cam Denmark, who has basically been sent to the corner so that Gladdy can take a seat, as well as the head coach of the number one men's hockey team in the country, Mike Schaefer, whose team was having a banner year, no question about it. 23-2-4, ECAC regular season champs, and of course the news everyone knows now is that there's no sports going on. So this is a team that had such high hopes of obviously contending and winning a national title. The women were in the same exact boat that you guys were in, Mike. Do you feel like, and I'm going to be point blank with you, do you feel like this was a championship-winning team, a national championship-winning hockey team?
Oh, I do. I mean, I definitely had that feeling. You only get that feeling, I said to our players yesterday, you only get that feeling as a head coach where you definitely feel you're destined. You definitely have an opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you're going to be a national champion, but you definitely feel like you have all the pieces ready to go. And I felt like that, and probably missing some years, but back in 03 and 05, you know, 2010, you know, I mean, even 2 years ago when we were healthy, when we had beaten BU at Madison Square Gardens, yeah, we drew them as a first-round opponent. And then this year, I mean, I thought we had all the pieces. Our goaltending, defensively, I really thought that we were kind of hitting our peak and peaking at the right time. And that's hard. And I just thought that coming down the stretch drive, we had played a lot of teams that were, you know, everybody thought we should beat, when our guys knew we should beat, and we got on a roll. And then the Clarkson game at home was kind of a litmus test to see where we were, that we knew they had a good hockey team. And I thought our guys really answered that question. And so mentally, I just thought they were really, really prepared, you know, to prepare to play, you know, eight more games or six more games, where it was going to take to get there. But the guys knew they had a chance. We as a coaching staff knew we had a chance, and that they were focused and wouldn't be distracted, and everything was right there for them. And I think that's in sports in general. That's what you want. I mean, we all sign up for it. You go into the season, you don't know where the journey is going to take you. You as an athlete, you put it on the line, not knowing whether you're getting the lineup or not. You do that as an athlete all the time. And then there's those special occasions, which was this year, where you know things kind of fell in a place. And last year we kind of felt we were robbed a little bit, in the sense of, we got guys hurt. We had a tough season. Matty Goliath got hurt in the championship game. Jeff Malott got hurt in the championship game in the ECA season. You know, we thought we ran out of steam against Providence, a team that we thought we were just as good as. So it is one of those things. But we definitely thought we had a championship team in our hands.
What night or weekend maybe were you at your best during the course of this year? Any weekend series maybe stand out that, man, this team really has it going right now?
You know, I don't think that there was a weekend like that where I felt in practice, that's when I really felt that we had that. And weird things that happened this year. For instance, like Colgate was going to be a big series for us, that we hadn't played very well. We came out back off of Princeton and Quinnipiac, and kind of had a great meeting down at Princeton after the Quinnipiac game. And I still remember on Friday or Thursday from practice, I knew we were going to be ready to play that weekend. And the way we practiced and how we prepared, I just felt like that was, we were there. You know, we had the culture. I just felt how we were preparing throughout the course of the week. And so it wasn't any game at any particular time, because there was nights that we would just absolutely destroy a team in the first period. And, you know, people were upset that we wouldn't continue to destroy them. It's hard to play for 60 minutes at the pace that some games we played at. We did things that, you know, people just don't understand that you can't sustain that for a 60-minute game and have anything left for the next day. But I just felt that we were developing the kind of habits that championship teams develop in order to be ready for big games. Like Las Vegas, you know, being in the kind of distraction, Madison Square Gardens and the bright lights in a big crowd, playing in front of empty buildings, which we thought was going to really prepare us for the game against Princeton. When you play at a place like Brown that's got no fans,
yeah,
and we're like, hey, we're ready for that, you know, and we'll generate our own excitement. So I just felt like no matter what came our way, our guys were ready for it, could handle.
I mean, that's a compliment to the entire season of, yeah, you know, what your team did accomplish. The fact that it wasn't, oh man, we were so great in December or that weekend in January. It was a model of consistency, and that's how you get to be a nationally good team. You know, there's teams that are good in the league, good in the region, and then there's nationally good. And that's how I described it to a lot of the folks I talked to in the college hockey community, you know, throughout the season. I'm like, Cornell is nationally good.
What made these guys so good, Mike? I mean,
they passed the coaching.
I was gonna say they passed the eye test,
Plans,
but like
Ben.
it really did. Just like when you would watch them, I'd watch them on ESPN Plus, and it just seemed like this team was different to teams within the last few years, just above and beyond just what some of those other teams were.
They were and they weren't. I mean, I think that last year, again, I think if we were healthy last year, and we would have remained healthy with guys that got hurt throughout the course of the season, I think that you would have probably saw the same kind of hockey team. I think that one is, I don't think our league was as strong this year in the ECAC, and I think that even though there are some pretty good teams, I don't think that overall, I think we took a step, and I think that some of the teams in our league took a step back a little bit. But nationally, you know, Michigan State was a huge series for us to start off with. I mean, they came in here last year and beat us on our home ice, and we were pretty healthy at that time. And we went right back out and repaid the favor to them, even though they chartered it on a nice jet, and we took the Swerdo out to their place. And it was just a weird weekend. I mean, I didn't coach in the game, and I had hernia surgery just before we left for the game, and that's why I say these guys were unflappable. Without coaches not being behind the bench or during the week and having the team. But you ask the question, what made them? It starts off with recruiting. Ben Sire and Sean Flanagan and really Topher Scott helped recruit the senior class that was there. And those guys did a tremendous job of bringing the right kids to our campus, kids that, you know, want to work hard, want to fit into the Cornell mentality of being selfless hockey players and playing as a team. And the kids are talented. I mean, you give a lot of kids to that, they have talent, but they've really committed themselves over a year, 2 years, 3 years, with how long they've been here. Like Jeff Malott, who tore his ACL and had surgery in April, you know, people don't see the grueling rehab schedule he put himself through just to be back on the ice for Michigan State. What, that's not even, you know, I don't know if it's 5 months, 6 months. I mean, it's that's just, you couldn't imagine that 4 or 5 years ago. So great players that were brought here by our assistant coaches, and players that, you know, you just continuously worked over a 4-year period, 3-year period to make themselves better.
I hate to bring up something that might be a little sad or disappointing, but with somebody like Jeff, who has had such an up and down sort of career, because he's had so many great moments, obviously, but then you mentioned the injury. Somebody like Yanni, who's been such an instrumental part of the program, and somebody like Noah Bald as well. For those seniors to essentially see everything get cut short, I can't imagine what that feels like for you as their head coach and somebody who I'm sure cares so much about them.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough. I mean, they for 3 years incrementally, you know, they're like the 03 team that I talked about, where, you know, that 03 team got to the NCAAs and they lost in the second round, and they had their ups and downs with injuries, and then they overcame and scored an overtime to finally win their senior year when they, you know, they should have blown out Harvard at the ECAC championships, and they overcame that adversity, and then they got to the Frozen Four, and they were, you know, they faced their own adversity in that first game back in 03. And kind of history for these guys, I mean, they ran that same pattern, in the sense of, you know, they've had three outstanding years, I mean, in the NCAAs and the ECACs. But I think it also fielded a lot of calls from players, former players today, that, you know, talked about how hard it is, but, you know, to pass their well wishes on to our players and just continue to remind them that even though things wasn't the way they wanted to, the one thing that remains the consistent in our program is the relationships these guys have had and the culture and the team and how close they were. That remains with them forever. And so regardless of how our season ended, and they know those seniors, They'll never forget in the sense of they'll never know the unknown, whether they would have won a national championship, but they will never forget the culture, the teammates, the closeness of this team, and the journey that we did have this year. That'll stick with them forever.
Mike Schaefer, head coach of the number one Cornell men's hockey team, joining us in studio. Before we go to break, I'm curious, just how wild have the last couple of weeks been in taking what's going on recently here with coronavirus out of the equation? How wild has it been that there have been two number one hockey teams playing in the same barn? Because for us, it was incredibly exciting. And I'm sure for you and your players and anyone who's involved with the program and just the athletics department, everybody just had to have been on cloud nine.
It is. I think that, and I've always said this, I think sometimes our Cornell fans don't understand how lucky they are. And what I mean by that is to see future, in the women's side, future Olympians. Like to watch a woman's player play here and develop and watch them, you know, two or three years later, like Rebecca Johnson or Jill Saulnier and Fortino, and watch those girls play, right? I mean, to watch them at the highest part of the world in the Olympics and watch our players that have been here and gone on to play in the NHL. You're seeing, you know, what other sport and really around this area in the Northeast do you see, you know, two teams ranked number one in the country. Some fans know they're fortunate, but I think that when you really delve into it, you see a girl, you know, that is going to play in the Olympics. It's a special moment, and it was a special moment this year. And it's really great to be around because you see the characteristics that exist on the women's side and the men's side of what it takes to be, you know, as Joe mentioned, to be at that level across the country. And it's special. You learn a lot of things about, you know, the Dougie Dare and their coaching staff and the athletes on the women's staff and our women's team and our guys. It's a fun time to be around.
You want to stick around for one more?
No problem. Got nothing else.
Should we do it? Come on.
Yeah, Gladden. I got one we got to talk to Mike about. So, yeah, we'll do it after
the
break.
VTL back after this. Packed house here on this Friday in the studio. Because it's me, our producer Cam Denmark. He's usually always here. Glad he's inside the ESPN Ithaca studios. Dan has joined us in the studio. And it's all because Mike Schaefer on the Cornell men's hockey team is joining us in studio for some of the show today. You're just like a huge celebrity in these parts. Everybody just wants to see you.
Yeah.
Especially after losses, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't see many people after those.
All right. Mike's known for many things in representing this community.
Yes.
One of them is, and anyone who's listening and has had the opportunity to be at a public event where Mike is asked to be a guest speaker, he'll cut up a room pretty well.
Of course.
So, we're talking about uplifting. Moving on, a little bit of levity, and some uncertain times. You're on the spot, Mike. Tell us a story from the season that the fans wouldn't have known about, something on the bus, hotel, breakfast, practice, something that made you laugh, that you think about this group and made you laugh.
But remember, we're regulated by the FCC.
Yeah, that's we had a couple of them. We had a player where we were down six on, I think the other team had their goalie pulled, and we were getting a penalty. And one of our guys would yell out, start yelling out, it's going to be 7-7-7, you know, which means he thought that just because we were getting a penalty with, they could actually throw another guy on the ice. And that was pretty interesting. Never heard that. And then a lot of guys cracked up pretty good on the bench in that particular moment. But
you can't pull the goalie twice.
You can't pull him twice. Yeah, you know, we've had that, and I don't think I've had that happen ever on the bench. And so, yeah, there's always some interesting. Our bus broke down coming back from Princeton, or we were at a bus stop for a while after the long Quinnipiac Princeton trip. And those are always interesting times. And being out at Michigan State was got to a place, and they didn't have food for us, and we didn't hope that was going to be a sign for us at the start of the year. But yeah, there's always we always try to put a blooper reel for our guys throughout the course of the year, whether it's in practice or throughout the course of the game, because you know those are the things that keep guys light, and really those are the things that you know guys remember, you know, and throughout the course of the year, and then they remember for the rest of their lives. It's those little stories that you write, you can't tell on air, you don't want to to let guys' names know who was the guy calling seven.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting one.
You're sure that they just weren't trying to get Donaldson's attention?
Yeah, no, that was an interesting time. But it, you know, that's journey. The fun part of that journey is, as I said, it'll go by. Right now, it'll take a few weeks, just like, you know, losing at the end of the season in the NCAAs or losing a championship game. It really stings for a while, and then all of a sudden, all the things that will flood back about, you know, the things that they've really enjoyed being part of. That's where the emotions that'll take over, and this for a lot of athletes across the country, it'll sting, but it will go away. And I heard on the show before we come on that the NCAA is talking about granting eligibility for senior athletes, which I hope they do the common sense thing would be to grant them. And you know, and it's I've always was wondering if they could do it for winter athletes too that, you know, missed that last part of it. But I don't think that that's wishful thinking.
Well, I think that's something that they're still, according to some, you know, blue check marks, they're looking into it. How do you accomplish that? I have no idea. I don't know if you really can, but...
It's too soon to even think. I mean, you got to think about the process of this. What does it mean for the academic institutions? What does it mean for residence halls? What does it mean for support staff? What does it mean for roster size limits? You know, if you can get your senior class back next year, you'd love to have that. And you'd love to have the 22 minutes... you know, that you get from Yanni every night. But what about, you know, what does it mean for your incoming class? Because you still have, you know, limitations. Yeah. So there's so much to deal with. I mean, at the professional level, what if a season is scrubbed? What does it mean if you are in the last year of your contract? You know?
Yeah.
What does it mean for players who might be pursuing, you know, an early departure from any sport?
And I'm going to say it once again. This is, I think, the second day in a row I've said it. The smartest thing that our producer Cam Denmark has ever said on ESPN Ithaca is that there is no handbook for any of this. So when you think about it, all of this stuff is happening and it's coming up and you think, what if this? What if that? How about this? How about that? We have no guidelines for any of this. This is all in some ways we're just going on the fly with trying to react and digest and figure out a solution to anything and everything.
Well, that's what coaches are doing right now. I mean, you're thinking in your mind, like, you know, if I'm a lacrosse coach, I mean, how can I get my hands on Jeff Teat, right? I mean,
right.
Like, if I'm Pete Millman, I'm already in trying to get in touch with the NCAA to keep his seniors. I mean, which he should.
I mean,
those guys are going to repeat. But then you get into the logistics of it of, you know, kids that are graduating, like Noah Ball, he's ready to start his job on Wall Street next year, right? So, I mean, he's not going to come back in another year and pay, you know, the money that he needs to pay to double major or do the things that are the logistics that go into that. But, you know, as a coach, like, we can't recruit. We can't, you know, they come down with no recruiting across. It's a dead period in the NCAA now. No one can go on the road. No, there's nothing to watch anyways, but you can't do a home visit. So, you know, I'm thinking today about, okay, what am I going to do for the next month? And how can I, you know, get into the types of recruits and talk to them and speak to them to try to convince them to come to Cornell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, coaches don't wait around a whole long time. I mean, I'm sure there's teams like in Maryland, Duke, Penn State, Johns Hopkins that are trying to figure out, you know, what they can do. I mean, talking to Pete Millman, the best athletes, the best, you know, players that are ready for their Towarton Award. I mean, they're like three of them in the Ivy League, you know, and they're seniors, probably the best senior class ever in lacrosse. He talked about across the league. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things, but trust me, the coaches aren't waiting around a whole lot. They're already in the process of trying to figure this out as fast as they can because the other side's already trying to figure out how they can get them. So no one's going to sit idle for very long.
I really hope the Ivy League, no pun intended, smartens up and realizes what they need to do, because that is the right thing to let guys like Jeff Teat stick around for that extra year. I mean, we saw it with Ron Pinnell, what, 5-6 years ago or whatever it was. Now, granted, it was a medical reason, but the Ivy League finally gave somebody an extra year out there, and I feel like it was such a great move, and it got people in this community so excited. It got college lacrosse excited. I mean, Mike, you alluded to it. The Ivy League lacrosse this year was top-notch. Like, so many good teams out there and so many good players, even in our own backyard.
Yeah, I mean, Cornell was posed. They were ready for that kind of run in lacrosse too. Yeah. I think that, you know, seeing their players, our players know their guys pretty well, and they are feeling the same kind of gut feeling that our guys had. They had that same feeling, and so it's just not our team. It's just not the women's hockey team. There's other athletes at Cornell's campus, like the lacrosse program, that were feeling the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone said it feels like 10 years ago. You look at Syracuse, Princeton, Cornell at the top of the lacrosse bowl. So that was the thing. You talked about, what are you going to do? I know it's all brand new. Number one, are you getting any sleep? And number two, everyone's got something out there. Like, I always wish I had more time to do something. And now there's times for that.
Yeah, what are anything?
Yeah, I slept really well last night, not worrying about our power play or our penalty kill and, you know, who we're playing against Princeton, and are we going to play Clarkson? Are we going to play, you know, that unknown was driving everybody crazy. You know, you talk about the last, you know, 4 days, you know, we went from not playing Princeton to, oh my God, we're not going to be sharp for the ECACs. You know, so even all this stuff was going around us, you know, as a coach, you're just thinking about, okay, how can we get our guys to adjust? Like, we'll be okay. You know, we played great against Providence after we came off of Christmas break, you know, or Ohio State, so we'll be all right. And, you know, so those are the things. Sleeping well is one of them. You know, but it's just like everybody else, to work remotely from home, to keep busy, to do the things necessary to stay safe. I mean, I told our guys, I mean, I said, I know this is not a disease or a virus that's going to affect them a whole lot, but I am 57 years old. And I said, so it's people don't think that it's not just about the students on campus, it's about the faculty, it's about our coaches, and I'm one of them. And getting up in that age where it is high risk for me to be around these guys. And so it's a lot of stuff that's been going on, but yeah, it's a lot of it is still, you know, you want to work remotely, you want to do the things, and this time has always been a time of year for as a coach to catch up on all those things you don't want to do, you know, your budget, your administrative stuff, the stuff that you've been ignoring, and so we'll use that time at home wisely to get in the things that people don't see that you kind of ignore to stay focused on your team.
Hey, just know if you ever get a little bored, or if you need a little time away from doing that, the studio door is always open for you. That seat is always ready for you, and we will make sure that the Wagner Valley beer is flowing just for you. Okay?
Well, you let me know what that date is, and I'll be back.
Tuesday. See you then. Hey, thanks so much for stopping by. Seriously, we really appreciate it. Congratulations on what's been a tremendous year for you guys, and so much to be proud of, even though everything's been cut short. So, like I said, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Okay.
Oh, I appreciate it. I really appreciate what you guys do for the local area, to be able to sit and listen to having kids in high school sports and listen to around the area. It's being a small town guy, you know, I think it's really fortunate for kids around this community that are in high school that can hear their name on the radio, and it might be the only time in their life that it happened. So what you guys do around the local community is not doesn't go unnoticed, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Thanks so much. Mike Schaefer, head coach of the Cornell men's hockey team. BTL back after this.